I'm Jason Stein, publisher of Automotive News, and this is Daily Drive. It's Thursday, July 2nd. In any sharp economic downturn, the ability of an automaker to connect with its dealer body becomes the lifeblood of a healthy relationship and a recovery. Such has been the case with Mercedes-Benz and its retail network. Throughout the last 4 months, executives at Mercedes have worked closely with their retail partners to ensure that they have the support, communication, and means necessary to work through this sudden halt to business. Along the way, Mercedes has learned a lot about its dealers. They're willing to adopt a whole new way of doing business, and they're willing to do so with premium service. Technology has been the game changer. Or so says Adam Chamberlain, Vice President of Sales for Mercedes-Benz USA, a position he's held since 2016. Later this fall, once the visa situation in North America clears, Adam will also assume the role of President and CEO of Mercedes-Benz Canada. In the meantime, he's focused on Mercedes-Benz COVID-19 from Mercedes-Benz headquarters city in Atlanta. Hi there, Adam. How are you?
Hey, Jason. Great. Thank you.
Adam, give us a little sense of where you see the world today. I know it's been a heck of a 16, 17 weeks, if you will, depending on how you count it. But where is MB USA right now in terms of its response to COVID-19?
Well, that's a great question. Let me just go back to the start again, Jason, because it all changed so dramatically. As you know, we were 9.3% up on prior year, January and February cumulative. First 10 days of March, we were up 10%. And we were heading, I believe, for an all-time record quarter. And then, of course, boom, everything stopped. And the safety and well-being of our employees, our dealer employees, was the first concern. So we ended up then having a more challenging March, as you can understand, and ended up down about 5% for the quarter. And, of course, we were doing like a million, literally on a daily basis, 5 or 10 different scenarios for sales, production, inventories, everything, as you can imagine. And the situation was evolving. We had a little bit of learning on what was going on in Asia and China, but not much else. And what I would say, as we look back now here at the end of June on quarter two, I think we're in a better place than we'd expected and we could have hoped for. Clearly, on the basis of the data that's coming out of Johns Hopkins every day, we're far from through this right now. So I really don't want to get carried away. We sort of take every day at a time, but at this point we're better than we expected, and I think a lot of that is down to the outstanding, and I really mean that word, outstanding, dealer network that we have in the United States of America. I couldn't have believed, I've been fortunate enough to have worked in Europe, in UK, in Ireland, and now in the US, I really couldn't believe the extent that the dealers went to and go to within the framework of the law and within the guidelines of making sure their employees and their customers are safe, what they will go to deliver a service to their customers, firstly, as it relates to the essential maintenance and care, and whether that was mobile service, contactless handover, contactless pickup of a loaner car, just incredible to see. But then really also the escalation of contactless sales. I'd never even thought of a Zoom test drive whereby a customer would scan a picture of a driving license from a service drive, send it into the store. They would then take a key and a plastic wallet, enter the car, and then be guided through a test drive on Zoom and ultimately buy the car. So I think this accelerated digital sales processes for us, for the dealers, and really, the entrepreneurial spirit, the creativity. And I can relate that directly to other markets, which I speak to regularly with my network of friends and colleagues across Europe, particularly where they didn't have that. So we're very, very thankful. And I think also we're fortunate, this was always going to be for Mercedes-Benz the year of the SUV. Yesterday we launched the all-new GLA. And, really from GLA to the G-Wagon at the pinnacle of our lineup, we sort of have an SUV for everybody. Where we were frankly lacking a few years ago, we now have the most complete range, I believe, and I think that's led us to be relatively strong and so come out of this better than expected.
When you talk about the resilience of the dealer body, are there specific examples that come to mind? Certain Mercedes dealers who you feel really turned it up when it came to innovation?
I think. The danger with that is that some of the bigger guys that you speak to more regularly, or the dealer board guys, shine brightly because you see their examples. But I would say I can't think of any who didn't step up to the plate, Jason. Probably, to be fair, that's unusually democratic of me, but I feel that's a fair answer. There were so many different things and so many variables. Of course, you know, I think of downtown LA, who had a more extended shutdown and then went into a protest, or my friend in Oakland, San Francisco, whose showroom got destroyed after you know, reopening. So I think I wouldn't want to pick any examples, but just, you know, whether it was, as I said, mobile service, contactless handover, contactless taking reception of a loaner vehicle, contactless deposit for a car, cars delivered, sanitized, take a video of sanitizing the car, and that's the handover of the car, and then do a handover video for the customer. Just some really great innovation that, frankly, 6 months ago, I don't think we felt we had in us. And I think it really has accelerated the use. And I won't call it e-commerce, and that's too big, digitally assisted sales tools, I think, is a good description.
Tell us a little bit about the customer. What have you seen from the customer over the last 4 months? We know there's an appetite for sales in certain areas of the country, but what did you hear and see?
I think first of all, the other thing the dealers did was get really, really strong in terms of supporting their local community and first responders. And we have many stories of dealers providing food, providing vehicles, providing sanitation kits for first responders. I think that started to give the customer confidence that in their local area, their dealer was to be trusted. The dealers were very active in telling and showing everybody via social media and via one-to-one marketing what they were doing. So I think the customers initially were very nervous, of course, but then got a degree of confidence of the sanitization and the steps and measures the dealers had taken to protect customer safety and well-being. So I think customers then gained some increasing levels of confidence, and it's a bit like everything. You adjust and you adjust, and you start to then get to a new normal, not the same as the old normal, but get to a new normal, and you start to feel more confident. So I think the dealers were very good in highlighting what precautions they were taking. And, you know, even in the old case where physical showrooms were open and allowed to be open, there were very clear social distancing guidelines. There were the glass counters in front between salespeople and customers. So I just think customers got confident that this was a place that they could feel safe to go into. And I think the other thing that happened is customers wanted personal mobility because they were scared of any shared mobility. And finally, you know, I hope, and don't want to speak too much to the brand, but I hope somehow that Mercedes-Benz is a brand that they trust for its integrity and its promise. And I think then when you have a very strong, prominent local dealer doing a lot in his local market to build confidence with the brand, with the star behind that dealer, I think that gives confidence to the consumer.
How about inside Mercedes-Benz? What did you learn during this process? What are you learning?
I think there's a couple of things. First of all, the initial thing was, what do we need to do to support our dealers? So we provided a raft of measures for the dealers and for the customers. So, you know, things like retail finance deferral if the customer needed that, extensions and deferments on lease end expiration, and some other loyalty tools. So we first of all focused on what do we need to give our dealers and our customers to give them confidence. And, you know, it's been well publicized. We did some measures for our dealers as well to make sure they could have comfort and knowing that we're not going to be sitting on them, watching them actually just get on and do the job. Then I think what we looked at internally is, now what can we do differently? Because one of the things we certainly have a firm belief on is that a crisis is a great opportunity to change and has to be an opportunity to change. So we looked at really what we should keep, what we should cut, and what we should amplify. What is really important? What's at the heart of our business? Because, you know, when sales have been good for a few years, we all get great at adding on complexity and adding on layering up, I think you call it here. And I think delayering is something we've been actively focused on.
As we come to the close of June, we're now looking at the second half. What are you looking for in the market in order to see some semblance of a normal going forward?
I think the first thing, and again, this has changed dramatically in the last 10 days, but the first thing, are we going to see further restrictions and shutdowns? I mean, we know that in Florida, Texas, Arizona, bars and certain gyms have been shut down, etc. So are we going to face further restrictions on our ability to do business, Jason, is one thing. We know that demand for our products is strong, and the SUVs in particular are strong. We like everybody else, had to shut down production in certain countries and certain markets to make ensure the safety of our employees. So we will have potential product limitations if the market continues at this pace. And so between COVID and production really will be the line of which as to how strong we can be through the balance of the year on new car side. On the used car side, I think we'll be able to supply a good number of vehicles. I see the used car. I know Automotive News has written about it fairly continuously as well. I think we'll see a very robust rebound on the used car seat, on the pre-owned side, as long as markets can stay open and dealers can stay open. And I think contactless business will be here to stay. And you know that we have to engender a real sense of trust with our dealers and make decisions quickly and expediently on the circumstances that face us.
Adam, there have been many who've said that the pandemic has forced the industry to operate in a different way. You've alluded to that several times here during this talk. But are there other fundamental changes that you believe will occur?
Yeah, I think one of the things, you know, it's funny, isn't it? It does take a real crisis to reflect. And I think, again, I referred to it earlier, but we've probably put many programs into our dealers, all for good reason, for good cause, nothing out of badness. But, you know, again, when times are good, you sometimes don't challenge yourself on every single program. And I think one of the things we'll look at aggressively, and I use the word aggressively deliberately, Jason, is cost of retail. And what tasks and what measures do we place upon our dealers that maybe are not necessary to do? You know, ultimately we're here to sell cars, look after customers, sell them some parts, and then hopefully sell them another car if we do a great job and we have an attractive brand. And I think we've got things that distract us from doing that and distract our dealers from doing that, and we're going to look aggressively at that.
That would include facility requirements.
Yeah, and I've already talked with Urvash some time ago about facilities. You know, we have to be pragmatic about that as well.
Right. Yeah. Well, we'll for sure be watching that going forward. I know your dealer partners will watch that as well. It's always been a hot topic. I want to get to one final thing. This Sunday in Austria, the Star will be rolling around the track again at a high speed. How important is the return of Formula One to the brand for you?
For me personally, it's in my blood, Jason. So I love it. I think it's, you know, it's okay. It's good for the brand. I'm not sure. I think the return for those fans, for those real motorsport fans, just as a return of golf 3 weeks ago and the return of NASCAR, is a sense of comfort and normality. I think it's a good thing. For me personally, I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to seeing Lewis doing his business and making a great statement for the brand and for Formula One.
You also have the brand on top of a stadium in the town where you operate, in Atlanta. And how important is the return of major professional sports here for the brand, especially given the investment that was made for Mercedes at Mercedes-Benz Stadium?
I think it's you know, sport here, you don't need me to tell you, sport here in the U.S. is huge. Football's huge in the South. Sport in the South is huge. Football's huge. So providing it's safe, providing no one's at risk, and providing it can be done in a safe manner, I think it's good that there's a level of normality in this new normal that we face. So I've been watching. I'm a big Premier League fan, Jason. I've been watching the empty stadiums, but I tell you, some of the soccer's been fantastic. So it can be a nice distraction from some of the challenges we're facing on a daily basis as well. You know.
Very good. We wish everybody at the Mercedes-Benz family all the best of health going forward.
Thank you, Jason. Thanks for your time. And again, just reiterate, I just want to say thank you to our dealer network who've done such a great job for us over the many years, but particularly in the first half of 2020, which has been unprecedented in the context of recent times.
Unprecedented in ways we could never have imagined, Adam.
Yeah. No. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
And that's Daily Drive for Thursday, July 2nd. For breaking news, go to autonews.com. And for a library of more than 75 stories, go to autonews.com/dailydrive. And after a few days off for the July 4th holiday, we'll be back on Tuesday, July 7th.